So you said it's on the news.
100 years worship?
Historical Society has a retention schedule that's everything, even your accounts payable and your accounts, any accounts receivable that you have.
It's just these terrible.
Everything like that, it's all on there.
Workers' compensation claims and paperwork and your files on that, you get to keep forever.
Yeah. Yep. Is that to protect future lawsuits or? Okay.
Carol.
Well, there's probably a lot of reasons, but.
Would you say that again? Are these numbers that we can use for retention available online at the Historical Society?
At the Historical Society. And sometimes when people ask me questions, I think somebody posted, I pulled stuff off for somebody not too long ago and then said that, you know, the rest of it's on there. But you use the section that's cities and counties because you just consider yourself a city because they don't have a specific library one.
Okay, the next form is just about keys, and just the only thing about that is you want them to acknowledge that they received a key, and then you want to have the same form when they resign or leave that they return the key. So another thing we've added to our folders is just to give the employee a little know what you're about, some brochures and flyers that you might. You know, summer reading, things like that. Kind of gives them an overall feeling of what's going on at the library and what other things that the library does. I mean, if they're hired as a page, you know, they'll know that we do programming and those kinds of things. These two little items are things that we update and distribute to both managers and supervisors. The managers and employees, and their phone number and contact list that kind of fold up and it'll fit in a wallet or a purse. We put managers' phone numbers on them and give those to everybody in case an employee needs to contact a manager. There's also information about a calling tree. We have a calling tree for clothes, for weather, anything like that. And we allow people to log in to their email or their staff, our staff log from home. So that information is all there so they don't forget. The supervisor one contains the same information, but it also contains some information about like what to do in emergencies. You may be the last manager standing in an emergency, or the first manager on a scene of an emergency in a building, and kind of give some guidelines on what to do. Like if you need to start freezing books, if there's a water problem, some phone numbers on that. However, it's something that, although we use our employees' phone numbers quite a bit or managers' phone numbers quite a bit, you don't often use that other information like freezer lockers and things like that you can get your wet books into. So the hardest part with this is keeping it up to date because we put freezer lockers and things on here, and then a couple years later we find out they're no longer in business. We have to find another one to close by.
So, in other words, all we need to do is call you.
You could. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the last
thing
is.
And your home phone and cell number is?
It's like, my freezer's not very big. Anyway. Okay, left-hand side. This is these items are things that are, you know, kind of static. They don't change very often, so if you wanted to put these in a three-ring binder, three-hole post thing, you could do that. The first page is something that is in their welcome packet. However, we're allowing supervisors to email these documents or give these out to people prior to their first day, because it tells them where they may park.
Right.
Although, you know, really, if somebody parks in the parking lot on the first day, they're not going to get in too much trouble and just tell them to move it the next. Then there's an organizational chart, kind of helps them figure out where they fit in the scheme of things. A chart, you know, how the library and city work together might be kind of good for some people to know that the library has a director, but the director is, the library is governed by a board and the city over that. And here's a few pages just on our support organizations, the Friends Group and the Foundation. Of course, at MPL, we always include information about the system. And I include a copy of the performance review form. So as they get more comfortable with their job and they realize their performance review is coming up, they kind of know what the form looks like and what they're going to be evaluated on. I've included a copy of the workers' compensation notice. This should also be on your required posting. But I like this because it gives them a step-by-step what to do. If they're injured, they don't have to go find a poster.
It's been a really, really long time since I had a workman's comp thing, but I remember years ago that when you were going to the doctor, at that time, they wouldn't really do anything until they called your employer and verified that it was an actual active workman's comp claim. Is that still a common practice?
The physicians we've dealt with in Manhattan, all the employees had to do is say it is a work-related injury. I don't know.
They didn't call.
Okay.
They asked me. I didn't even think about saying it, and they asked me. And
they generally ask.
How many employees do Manhattan cover there?
68.
So, for workman's comp, do you not have like a designated, this is who you should go to? I mean, or a doctor?
Oh, no, we allow them to go to their own doctor. I mean, if it's during the workday and it's a cut or something like that, if they can't get into their primary care physician, then there's KSTAT, the emergency clinics. Yeah. You know, if it's an emergency, obviously, you know, life-threatening, you take them to the emergency room.
We have since amended, at least at NCKL, that if someone has to go to an emergency facility for that, someone will take them.
Thank you. Yes. But they are not allowed to stay with them. Where I'm getting at is there was a company that my husband works for, actually, that they would transport you to the ER, but then the HR person would actually physically stay in there with you to hear what was being said. And to me, that crossed a line.
Is that still going on, or is that years ago?
I don't know, because
okay. There would be some HIPAA.
But about 3 years ago, it was still
a violation.
I mean, to me, it just seemed ridiculous.
The hospital personnel probably wouldn't allow them to stay in the room.
Yeah.
But you might have to transport them back, so I mean, I wouldn't just abandon the
person. Oh, no, it was they had to stay in there so that your story would jive, or... They were just really paranoid about false workman comp claims.
What our situation was that Melinda cut herself and the rest of us were at lunch except for one person. And the one person helped her wrap up, but then she drove herself. And it's like, oh, that probably wasn't a good idea.
Yeah, and you cut yourself really pretty good.
Yeah,
you were trying to...
Yeah.
Yeah. Had a ligament or something?
Yeah, he was using an X-Acto knife. Yeah.
I'm back to Shannon. PTSD of falling off the ladder in the ambulance trip.
You have to be safe in your practices.
But as far as a designated physician?
Oh,
I don't know.
When
we
I
don't.
Worked at Vetro, if somebody reported a work-related injury, then
they
we
had
sent
to
them to a certain doctor. And I know other companies did that. I think when I was at Walmart, the same way.
Yep.
They had a doctor they actually used. Mm-hmm. And I think it was to the, I know it was to the employer's benefit because where your regular family doctor might make these things last longer, the designated workman's comp doctors, you know, their goal was to work with the employer and get the people back to work.
They were probably under contract to the employer, too, so they were probably
getting. But also what a lot of people aren't aware of is that even if they have mandatory positions that you have to go to, workman's comp allows it used to be 500, it might be 700 now, window that you are allowed to go to your own medical care people and use that money, but workman's comp and your employer will not tell you that.
These are our two former truck stop managers here, both of them.
Well, I'm sure
they've dealt with a lot of this.
The
stuff.
Designated doctors are
I wasn't a truck stop manager. I managed the kitchen at a bar.
Might
as well be.
So.
It was a giant full hall. So, but I did work as a waitress at Beetle Junction. Loved it.
Cool. You get a lot of weird things happen when you run a 24-hour location.
Yeah.
So it's like.
My guess is the designated doctors are probably, in addition to being hooked up with the employer, but they probably just know how to deal with those things, the workers' comp, just the paperwork and dealing with the insurance company and all that. They probably
but they also are to the benefit of the employer. They strive to keep the employee from costing the employer. To the detriment of the employee at times.
Right.
I've seen it with my own eyes. I've been subjected to it, but I've seen it happen to other people too.
Yeah, that was my experience.
Yes.
Personal.
That's when I found that you have more money, you can go to somebody you want.
Personal policy, if I can hobble through to the end of the day, I'm going to hobble through to the end of the day and then get in my vehicle and go see my doctor and start it out that way, you know. You know, but that was just my experience. It was bad. And, you know, I ended up being off work for a month and a half waiting for my appointment with the specialist. And the boss was upset because I was at home and not at work. And I'm like, but there's nothing I can do. You know, if I come back to work, I forfeit my workman comp claim. And that means all this has to be on me. And it was... I understand the need for it. I understand the way it's supposed to work. And if I fall and collapse and the ambulance comes, yes, we'll run workman's comp. Otherwise, I want my own doctor. But.
So, and the last thing I included in our packet is just a simple way to operate the phone. Ours is
kind of a complicated
phone. They'll probably, I'm sure they'll be given some instruction as part of their training, but.
Like how to answer the phone.
That's a really important thing.
I think that's on their. That's on the. That's on the supervisor.
No, how are you doing today?
Right.
Well,
where you want?
I
always forget.
Don't answer the phone.
Yeah.
I know that. People don't answer their phone anymore.
My regular phone.
We've had a couple of librarians in the last few years, younger librarians. Who we call and call and call and call and call, and they never pick up. And according to what they've given us, the library is supposed to be open. And so then I begin calling board members and saying, we can't get through to the library. Is there something wrong with the phone? Is it, you know, is it closed? Is it? And so some especially younger people need to be told that if the phone rings in the library, it's a place of business. You need to answer it. The other thing is that a number of years ago, we had an older lady who was working at a library, and she would answer the phone, and she'd say, hello, and you'd say, hi, this is Carol, is Sue there? And the person would go, Sue!
Hey,
and it's
that's
like,
poor man's PA system.
And it's like... No.
She didn't even cover the hands.
No, and the, you know, I'm thinking this is the library, and I know it's open, and there's probably people in there, and
the best impression.
Wait a minute, Sue. Would that have been Emporia?
No, it was not. It was a library that had not this library. It was a library that had an elderly person working who probably hadn't really been in the workforce, except that they had picked up this job, and clearly didn't have any idea of let me put you on hold for a minute. Let me transfer you to their office, because this was a person with an office that you could have transferred the phone in there. But she just bellowed every time that you called, and it's like, how do we fix this? Because I was sure that every time I called that I was disturbing the entire library because I asked for the director.
Our city office has caller ID. And the girl that answers the phone a lot used to work at the library. Just first couple months I worked there, but I've become good friends with her. I'll call the city office. She'll see it's the library. She'll answer, hey, what's up? Or, what do you want? Yeah. And I'll be like, Erica, that's not how you're supposed to answer the phone. She's like, I knew it was you. But that always throws me when I call. I'm like, I know I'm calling the city office. And when she answers, it just, because I'm just used to a different approach.
So, you really, it's important to teach, because not a lot of people get the whole
thing. When we had our old phone system, there were some young people working at the circulation desk that sometimes would have to take messages if the administration phones were being transferred down there because we were gone or at lunch. They would take messages, but we, like, there's no phone number here to call back. Well, it wasn't on the display. It wasn't on the... It's like, okay, so we had to talk to Marilyn about, okay, you need to teach them how to ask for the phone number.
I called a board member because their ILL book arrived, and I said, is Linda there? Yeah, this is Linda. Hi, Linda. This is Roger Charles from Peabody Township Library. I'm just calling to inform you that you're in your library loan book. She goes, I'm a board member. Yes. But I'm still treating you like a patron because I'm not calling a board member right now. I'm calling a patron. If I can switch hats, you can too. And so, I get laughed at.
I got scolded by my 18-year-old daughter because on caller ID, I knew it was her. So I just answered the phone, hi, sweetheart. And she goes, Mom? Yes? How'd you know it was me? Caller ID. And she
because
goes,
I'm a mother.
Don't answer it that way. You're the library. Okay. Burns Public Library, how may I help you? She goes,
I need
you to be my mom.
Yeah, I think that working on that kind of professional phone behavior is something that it's made us all lazy, the caller ID, because Marcy will call me and I'll know it's her, and so I'll say, yeah, what do you want? But
or you call and I'll answer Burns Library. Yeah. Hi, Carol, how are you? So Sandy.
Yeah, I have to check because I don't always recognize people's voices on the phone.
I call Carol and says, yes, Roger.
What I don't understand is when people call and I try to get all my staff to say their name when they answer, and I'll say, Council Grove Public Library, this is Shannon, and people say, is this the library?
Yes.
I just said all that. Yep, I'll say, sure is.
Are you open? Are you open?
Yes. Are you open?
Are you in the library right now?
In defense, I had somebody call yesterday morning and say, are you open? And I'm like, no, actually, we don't open until 2.
Yeah.
It was in the morning. I just happened to be in there grabbing something, and the phone rang, and I just grabbed it because out of habit. You know, and it's like, no, we're not open.
Alice called.
So the things in the folder are items that we try to get through the first day or so with our new employee. There's that department checklist that the supervisor has a little bit more time to go through. But as part of our project at MPL, we're working on what sort of professional development training we need to give people. And Carol knows a little bit more about that, but we've worked up a couple draft checklists and stuff for people to. Our next committee meeting is going to be about this, but it's things like, you know, how to do the catalog system, things about reader's advisory. Carol, jump in here any minute because I'm getting lost.
Well, I'm doing one. I have a little one on library values and ethics. Is this one packet or no?
It's just one page. There's two pages.
There'll be all kinds of different things on all the library services that Manhattan has. Like, they have OverDrive, the Sunflower e-library, Hoopla, and Lynda.com. Databases is mostly the state databases, although there are a few that MPL has that nobody else has, but we'll be doing that. There's a PowerPoint on customer service. We talked about the sexual harassment one already. And that safety and security one about how to deal with patrons that are, you know, causing problems, or there's lots of different things that way. Emergency procedures, like how to get everybody out of the building if the fire alarm goes off.
You also want people to know where the water shutoff valves are.
Yep.
How to turn off the toilet. How to turn off, you know, down at the bottom where you turn things off. Some people don't know how to do that.
What is the difference between a community library and a neighborhood library?
Where do you see that?
Mr. Rogers is there.
It's actually, that's an old map. We don't use those designations anymore.
It's on the website. It's on the website.
Yeah. And there wasn't it's that much difference between the two.
It's the size of the ESG grant.
Right. I like your explanation.
It was. It's now Gateway Linking.
One and two.
Like services. There's five. There's Gateway Linking, Service Center 1, Service Center 2, and then Major Service Center. I think that's what it is now.
So a lot of these training things it'll depend on the position, on how high up, how soon you want them to do those things. Like, you're at MPL, the maintenance people don't really need to know how to use the catalog, at least right away. At some point, we want them to be able to do that, but that's not high on their list. But of course, it is for the circulation staff. And these two documents I've just handed out are drafts of what our committee's working on right now. They're not finalized, I don't think.
No.
I don't know when our next meeting is, but it just might give you some ideas of how to organize it and structure it and what kinds of things you might want to put on there.
And ours and CTL's a little bit different than this one.
Because you'll be doing Verso. And
right, and we don't use EnvisionWare and that kind of stuff. Question?
I'd be interested in the viewed video for reader's advisory.
It's not done yet, I don't think.
Is it something you're having produced at the library?
Some of the staff were doing that.
Yeah, Adult Services is doing that.
Now, some of these are being created by department managers or people in the department for training. I think they've talked to Melinda about. Or have they talked to you yet about, is it this,
but I've heard
Frenzy?
Camtasia. Yeah, I
Camtasia.
Okay. I heard a rumor, but nobody's actually
done it. Nobody's actually done it.
I offered you service on them. Except for the rest of them to ask.
So a lot of these were, the things that are on the list you have now were preparing in-house. Some of them will just be voiceover slideshows, voiceover PowerPoints, I guess.
But in the past, we've done, like, we did a video of the children's department, a tour of the children's department. So things like that are we can work into.
I know MAWA has a reader's advisory course. And they also have customer service ones.
Well, it's Topeka, right? They promised to do it every year, but they didn't.
Yeah, they didn't this last year. I don't know whether they'll get it going yet or not. They had a great reader's advisory conference at Topeka.
So on this one, the maps it out, it has the contracting and the taxing libraries, but there's no color or shading. How do we,
Lyon County is a contract.
I know. I'm just wondering, how would we know on the sheet what the other libraries are?
Actually, I found this after I found. This doesn't have a map. This I pulled out.
Yeah, this is an old map that Marlene made that we probably need to scrap because it's no longer accurate.
And this.
I thought she did too.
So are you the only library? So it might be in my own place.
And we have the wrong one.
I don't remember where I
saw it.
So the website is old.
There's
yeah,
the
well, Wesley's still
there.
Where was this one then?
We'll see in the
Dwight City. Mm-hmm, the White and White City.
Wasn't on our website.
But it was.
But not. That one went 6 months.
Maybe I just had a copy of it somewhere.
Is this the one that you're looking at?
Yeah.
I don't have the paper copy, but the one on the web has.
It could be I pulled it off your website a long time ago.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. Yeah, this is an old one. It's not valid anymore.
Well,
it's because it's
where
got.
Where do we find that on the web?
It's also on the state library.
Yeah, it is there.
Website too.
On the WordPress website.
Oh, is it in there?
The state library site has all the systems.
I wonder
if it shows everybody.
I think it links to each system the way it does, doesn't it?
I think probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I just know I've.
Yeah.
Tried to figure out.
You know, for example, this one still has Summerfield and it doesn't have Talmadge, and that would be. Yeah, a few years. We were the only system using the neighborhood core community affiliate. Well, we still have affiliates. I'm not sure exactly how that was, but we changed that in favor of going with the language from the state uses. Made more sense to comply with what they were doing and try to do them all ourselves. And part of that designation indicates how much of an ESG grant they get.
So on this map, I noticed that Rapid County lists the Christian College and Minnetonka College.
They're affiliates. K-State is too.
That's what I was wondering about is, so they, because they're in the taxing county, they're members.
No. ESU can be members if they want. They just have never wanted to be members.
That's what I was trying to figure out how that worked.
The affiliates are other libraries. It's also schools can be affiliates.
And if you have a relationship with a local school, you should encourage them to become affiliates.
We're does it cost them more. Money?
No.
Really?
No.
And what we are trying to do more for schools, and if it will give them a voice.
So last summer we did our first summer workshop for librarians. That was on coding. We had the Hour of Code people come, and this year we have one scheduled in June.
I think it's the 16th, and it's using games in education and libraries.
And that's for the public, or I mean the school library.
That's for the school library, right. So,
now, are we allowed to come to that one if we wanted to? Or?
Yeah, Sandy's already said. And also, if you have, you know, you have a teacher who is doing the responsibilities of the librarian, you can, they can sign up too. It, you know, it's anybody who's working in the library in the school is welcome to come, because a lot of the schools don't have librarians, right?
Yeah, well, our school, they lost their librarian, but they promoted a teacher up to be the librarian. So she's actually going to school right now to get the credentials up to match that mm-hmm. position. Mm-hmm. And she's really kind of lost in what she's doing at the moment. And that's why I was...
Yeah. Send her to us, because I used to teach in that program at Fort Hayes.
Okay.
The school library certificate.
Do we have tell stuff in writing about that?
Contact
not yet.
Carol?
We're just kind of... Feeling our way through this.
Because ours would be desperate.
Well, Melinda has the stuff on this on the summer workshop.
Is it limited to the schools that are within the North Central system?
Yes. We can't take on all the schools in as far as offering services. They can come.
But they can come to the workshop.
Okay.
But we can't. The other regular SCTL services. We can't make them affiliates or something.
Every once in a while I get a call from Centralia, I think it is, because they're together with Frankfurt, and they say, can we come be NCKL members? And it's like, no, sorry, you're on the wrong side of that county line. So I'm not going poaching.
Are there other other systems have
some of them do and some of them don't.
Do you know if South Central does?
I think that they are starting a school librarian. Okay. I mean, and they take affiliates, definitely.
Okay.
But, no, I'm thinking Southeast. I don't know if South Central does. They're a mystery.
They're a lot different.
Yeah.
They don't play well with others.
They did. I mean, we had people come up to the craft workshop here, and mm-hmm. they're welcome to come to things, but as far as like becoming affiliates and, or what we can do.
And I did contact the director down there and say, you know, we're not trying to steal your people, but that we had offered. You know, we had offered this to people who asked.
Okay.
They decide where this call put their money.
Yeah, I don't want to get in a battle with them because they have way more money than we do. Yeah. So, yeah.
Everybody knows several of their libraries would gladly jump ship and come our way.
When you think about the fact that there are not all that many of us, because we have eight of us that are full-time NCKL. Well, not really, because Sylvia is not really full-time. And then Jen's half-time, Marcy's 40%, Terry's half-time.
No, she's 70-30.
Linda's 70% Manhattan, only 30% NCKL. We don't have a lot of manpower, you know. And so right now there are 48 public library buildings that we work with. And then trying to add the schools in and help in other places when we're needed, like at the two technical colleges, because they, you know, they typically need some advice and stuff like that from us on different things. So it's a lot. For, you know, so we can't take on libraries that are not in our system. It's a lot of buildings when you think about it. And the statistic that I've been telling everybody is that last year Denise rotated 82,000 books to all those buildings. 82,000 books she put her hands on twice.
She's going for 100,000 this year.
I don't know how she does it.
I don't either.
Dwayne and I sometimes sub, or all of us is sub times. Okay. I could go out to the Sanctuary Library. She's home by 3 o'clock. I drag in about 6. That's just the part of the van's already packed.
Right.
I mean, yeah. So
she's already picked the books.
She unpacks it. She does all of that, plus does some other things, too. I don't have...
I have to tell you that I wrote on her evaluation, I hope this isn't saying things out of school here, but this year I said it takes two of us when she's gone. It takes two of us to do her job badly.
Yeah.
You know,
I remember you and I went out, Carol, and we had a heck of a time.
Oh
together.
My gosh. And you know,
Andrew and I went out several times.
And
so it's, I mean, it's a tremendous, that's a tremendous amount of work. Yeah. And we're fumbling and we're forgetting stuff and, you know.
She's okay with it. She says, the test is, Robert says, well, I got there. I took some books. I brought some books back. She says, that's the main thing. Sometimes.
Well, my experience has been, it's always been with a smile, too.
Yeah.
Oh, it didn't, it's always a pleasant experience with her.
So,
a good person.
So yeah, we have we're doing it, you know, we have a lot on our plates, and she's one of them.
Her first trip this year, she came in.
Oh, that's right. And yeah, and LaDonna's only part-time. She's there 25 hours a week. So, I mean, the fact that we get as much done as we do sometimes, I have no idea how we do it.
The only thing I ask after doing this, don't feel like, oh, I don't want to bother them, so I won't call.
No.
I'm calling away.
Because that's the exciting part, is when something new comes up and we get to chase that down and all.
Challenge accepted.
And we have all kinds of questions.
You don't have
now
to
you're leaving.
You can just email.
I just recently had a question from a library that their town is having a fundraiser for the swimming pool, and it involves they're going to use the library as the dressing room for this group that they're bringing in. It's a drag show from Omaha. They sold out, like, and it's not for like 3 weeks, and they sold out already. Tickets, all the tickets are sold out, and it's like, so they're asking me this question: is it all right? And I'm thinking, how do I even answer
that? Well, it's too late now.
I didn't receive that email. I'm sorry.
No,
it got lost in cyberspace.
Well, would
it be inappropriate?
Would it be okay for them to let this group use the library as a dressing room after hours? And then it turns out that the mayor is the one that's bringing the group in, and the mayor is on the library board. So I said, well, you've got a board member there, so what's this?
So wouldn't that be a board question?
Yeah.
Well, they wanted to, that's what they wanted to figure out, was if it was okay for the board to say all right to this. And I said, well, what's your policy? And they said, well, we've allowed people to use the library after hours if a board member takes responsibility. And I said, is there a board member taking responsibility? Yes, then it's in your policy.
Is this the NC Kill library? Mm-hmm. But you won't reveal who.
No. Just find out where the event is. Just find out where the event is.
The names have been withheld. The show's sold out, which I think is amazing.
And it's the second time they brought this group.
Yeah, the
in.
Second or third time that this group has come into the town to do a fundraiser. So, yeah. So your library may get asked to do all kinds of things. If you have a question about it, ask me. I'll see if I can figure out the answer for you. Time for CE update. So what are our things that are on tap? CE.
So I think April 13th is the next one. It's an online form. So if you want to do like a summer reading registration of some sort, it's using the NinjaForm plugin for WordPress. So that's the 13th. In May are some e-reader classes, workshops coming up, one in Marion and one in Hanover later in the month. We got some universal classes So if you'd like some more of those hosted in your library, let me know.
So the 13th is Ninja Forms. The 19th is the grant writing.
The 19th.
Somehow
the book repair workshop is tomorrow.
The book repair workshop is tomorrow.
Book fair
is May 11th.
Is the book repair full? Because yesterday it wasn't on there.
It's
okay. Because Lee called me and I'm like, well, let me look who's coming. I'm like, oh, I can't.
Yeah, we took it down a month ago when I.
Because we had to order supplies.
Okay.
The next day,
I had a person write and say, I want to sign up. I was like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, because she said, are you going? No. She goes, oh, darn, I was going to use you as a helper.
Well, Carol and I are
going to help. Marcy's going to help, right?
I can.
You're signed up. Are you coming or are you sending somebody?
Okay. Yes. I didn't know I was coming.
Because there's only two of us tomorrow.
We'll be there.
And we need to get the
And then what else? So go down the calendar if you can.
Book repair and grant writing is the 19th. That was mentioned. Book fair is May 11th.
When's your next Universal class?
I've had two. I can schedule more at any location, so I'll look to do that. School library and workshop June 16th,
and that's a Friday.
That's in Manhattan.
Yeah.
I'm just might be important. Stay in the night and going shopping or something.
And we already have next year's summer reading program on the calendar for March 1st.
March 1st, and it will be in a different location. It will be in the church across the street from the library. So there's lots of parking. It's a nice, comfortable place. We went and checked it out. They have a kitchen and
why we're too rowdy for the library?
Well, they do a book sale, and they're not quite sure which weeks they want, so we thought we'd pin a room down for sure, and that way they don't have to worry about conflicting. And it's actually a very nice space. They have round tables.
And more comfortable looking chairs. I didn't sit in one, but it looked more comfortable than the chairs in the auditorium.
Yeah. Book fair's at the
library.
Manhattan.
Yeah. I can tell you a little bit about book fair. So Chris Ripple is coming out of retirement temporarily to talk to us about collection development and making your collection relevant. We talked about that a little bit in this day and age. And then we have a children's panel. They've been working on their books. And we have a YA panel. And Marcy's going to do hers twice, so you don't have to miss something else. So it won't all happen at the same time. We have the area representative from Random House coming in person. We have the area representative from Capstone Books coming via Zoom. And also one of the EBSCO trainers is going to talk about their EBSCO, I can't think of what it's called, it's their basic database that's out there. It's one of the ones that the state offers that is the most general of the databases to find information on. And then, what the other ones are, I'm going to do a Verso class for people who want to learn about some of the, I'm trying to remember what it is, part of Verso that I'm working on right now, which I can't off the top of my head.
It was the statistics and
That was one of it, was the reports, but then there's another thing beyond the reports. Oh, using the reports to do weeding. That was the, which we learned about when Jeannie was having us come out to weed.
And figured out the kinks.
I think we got the kinks figured out. I sat with Steve and we figured it out. And then, somebody else. Who else is coming? Oh, and Mary from Christian Books is going to come, and she's going to actually set up down in our office where we will also be having lunch, but she will have things to sell. She's the only vendor that's coming. And she's got a slot to do something on Christian fiction. She has a cross between fiction and nonfiction that she offers. So I think that will be useful for everybody too. So I put her down there because I figured if I had her where you guys were eating lunch, the likelihood of you browsing her stuff would be higher than if you had to go to another place. So it's once again a little bit different than we had in the past, but we don't have a lot of booksellers anymore, and for the most part you get better deals on Baker and Taylor, so it's really hard for me to say, oh, buy from this local bookstore when you're getting a 15% discount. You could be getting the same one for 40% at Baker and Taylor.
But it's always fun to touch it and look at it.
I know. You know what my husband does? Every time he picks up a book, automatically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, do you even realize you do that? He goes, it's a book. It's meant to be touched. It's meant to be smelled. And then you may look at it.
Yeah, I'm not a book sniffer.
So we'll be sending out a flyer online pretty soon on the book fair. I'm hoping to get that out next week. I'm still trying to nail people down with the titles of their presentations. I'm just gonna put Marcy down on it. They'll know.
I thought you and Marcy were picking out all the titles.
No, I tried to drum up. I was gonna try to make titles out of the Building a Better World, but it's not working. So. Okay.
Library reports.
Shelley, you're on. How is that?
Hopefully things went good today. We had our first fall story time. Susan was in charge and Melon went to go help us, so hopefully that went good. Summer reading, we did find out that Harrington is having summer school this year, and they're going to bring a bus down. So we're starting summer reading like the end of May sometime. As soon as we get down to fall story time, we're starting summer reading. So, and then we also, a lady came to talk to us that does how they have that food in the summertime. She wants to come and give the kids for summer reading snacks. So we're working with that. So that, you know, we're trying to figure that out. And I'm in the process of reading the fiction books. And I think that's about all that's going on. So.
I've got a board member who comes in every Friday night as if she were scheduled to work, and she automatically says, what do you have for me to do? She has a spot that she looks in to see if there's stuff there, and if there's stuff, she just hits it, and she thinks ahead that, okay, this is done. So, if you can't come up with anything for me to do, then how about I do this for you? I mean, she suggests things. She's actually German Mennonite, which to even have one on my board is a huge thing. She's very involved. We're working on the preparations for summer reading program and really trying to do a number of activities that will be geared towards middle school, high school age kids to try and get them back in and do some steampunk, diesel punk kinds of crafts. I even showed them pictures of the journals and pens that we will turn into steampunk, and I've got the little books already set up to go along with that genre. And those boys that are too cool. That's kind of neat. I'm going to do that. And I even got one that was, ooh, that's cool. I'm getting somewhere. We're going to put out a kind of an all-call list, and I'm going to have flyers of these are the things that the library is seeking in donation. We always have a Ladies' Day Out craft fair in November. So part of my craft time, since last year we started Crafts for All Ages, we will have take it to make it bags. So we'll have supplies in Ziploc bags and encourage people, if you know, you just want something to do when you're by yourself, you don't want to watch TV, whatever, work on this craft. You can keep it, you can give it as part of the Build a Better World, or donate it back to the library and we will put it into the sale during the craft day as part of a fundraiser. And I've gotten some, oh, well, after harvest is over, I could do that.
Yeah.
The craft is going on during the time that a lot of them are out in the fields, can't do things. But once summer is over and the kids are back into school, they'll have the bag with the directions and the supplies, and then they can work on it. They come in, I get to count them in my summer reading program statistics, and I'm happy. They're happy. That's my big focus right now. I always seem to bite off more than I can chew, but you know, it's fun to have ideas, so I might as well have them. The ideas are free. It's the fulfilling and the consultant expense. That's it.
Anything?
I guess it's me.
I have a library.
Okay. So Jennifer looked at me. So.
Well, I thought you're the next library.
We're doing big stuff at Manhattan, huge stuff. We did the entire adult nonfiction collection, and it shrunk considerably in size, which enabled us to tear out several ranges to the North Bay area and turn that into public space. And then we came around the corner and we did the end of it, and we were able to take down three tall, long ranges, thus freeing up some more public space. And yesterday we were able to move furniture and bookshelves into that area, and it's going to be beautiful, and we have it done. One of the things we did in the process is that if you've been in the Manhattan Public Library and checked out the large print collection, you know that it was in the back east corner, tall shelves, dark area. That's coming upstairs. It's not too far from the elevator. It's going to be in an area much better lighted. It has seating adjacent to it. We are putting up shelves to have displays on. It's going to be a very impressive area when we get it. Now, it took 8 people to do this, and it's taken us about a year to do it. So, as you say, and as we've heard, weeding is an ongoing project. Mm-hmm. It has been for years, so we're very proud of it. We're just about to finish there. Shannon.
Oh, now it's fine. Well, we've done some furniture things as well at our library. We got rid of our donated furniture that was in the very back corner of our library, and actually got some new furniture thanks to the Service Improvement Grant. We got a grant from TCT, and our friends of the library gave us some money because it was kind of between the board and the friends said to me, we need new furniture here. So we have some new furniture, and it looks a lot nicer. I kind of feel like we're almost a grown-up library now because it looks so good. And then we also have 2 study carousels that we're going to come and put in right next there too, with USB outlets and everything. So we're all excited about that. Our furniture came not assembled, so, but luckily I have a staff member who is really into that, so they've assembled it and it looks great. So we started doing an after-school program with our, and I always say it wrong, Spheros.
Yeah.
We only had 2 come our first time, but I don't think we did a very good job marketing, so we have to get it out there a little bit more, because they were really excited, the 2 boys that were there. Our circulation in February was up, kind of tracked it back about 5 years, and from 5 years to this year, we were up like 600 items over 5 years ago, so we thought that was good. And next week for National Library Week, we'll have cookies and lemonade every day after school from 3 to 5. We'll probably have to vacuum a lot more because of the kids, and then we're going to have a drawing for whoever wins gets to choose whatever book or DVD they want up to $25 that we'll order for them. So it's kind of, we're just celebrating our library a little bit. I've got a pretty good board now that really has a lot of good ideas, and I think we might try to do more. Probably do more than what we have people to do it. So, but it's going good.
I have to go open. Thank you guys for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Did everybody get enough?
Oh, more than enough. Wait a minute, we didn't hear, do we need a Peabody report real quick?
Nothing ever happens at Peabody. I've got all my grants filed for the year, so I can't get any more money coming in. Maxed those out. Went to the universal class training. Oh my gosh, I cannot encourage you enough to get yourself plugged into that, because my mind started going. I left that. I stopped off at the school. I'm trying to get an appointment with our superintendent and with our two principal, or our principal and our curriculum director, to start, see if there's something we can do and plug this into the school system for teachers getting continuing ed credits for recertification, get those points going. That's a possibility. There's parenting classes in there. Teachers are always complaining about parents not doing a good job. There's stuff there that we can do, and it's free. It doesn't cost anything except come into the library and we hook you up with a card. Lot of stuff there, a lot of things we can do to implement. So please get with LaDonna, make it happen, because there's a lot there. It's exciting to see. We had the craft workshop here. It was fun getting together and having people from all over, not just NCKL libraries, but having that. Everybody seemed to have a blast, and the only complaint I heard that got brought to me was they wanted more time to sit and play. Okay, they wanted more time doing this stuff, and that was the only. So, I mean, those are kind of positive things. We're not ready to leave yet. Okay, that's good stuff. We just finished the lift project, and they've already signed the contract. The roofer will be here, and the new roof will be on before school is out. Before we have the book fair, that'll be done. There's so much to be excited about. We are libraries. We represent libraries. We are librarians. We are probably one of the most important people in our community. We're also, because we're so quiet, we're the ones that are always overlooked. And I'm saying it's time to shed off the stereotype of a librarian, and it's time to make some noise, and it's time to yell, and it's time to scream, and it's time to say, hey, look at me. And a loud voice draws attention. The attention brings support. Support. How far have we come, Carol?
Light years. Light years.
She said, last time she gave me an actual number, she says 50 years, and that was at our 5-year mark. So you can do a lot when you do that. So please, I encourage you. And just remember how you get treated in Peabody. Okay.
We'll be back for lunch.
So when I call and say, hey, I want to do something, come on over. Okay, we'll get you hooked up. And I am serious. Thank you guys so much. And if you get a chance, you're coming through town, stop if I'm here. If I'm not, Carol's got my cell phone. Richard and Dwayne have my cell phone, although they won't admit it. But who? Do we know him? Yeah, I get it. But call. I'll come down and we can hang out, and I'll put a pot of coffee on. Everything we got is available.
Thank you, Roger.
I want to clap. Thank you. Don't be quiet.
Huh?
Don't be quiet. I agree with that.
No.
My staff even tells everybody, we're not a shh library, because people can bring their kids in like shh, and we're like, it's okay.
I
we want them to have fun.
I get, you know. I get library respectful.
But if it's just me and a group of kids at the computers, okay, guys, as long as it's language that I approve of, I don't really, if you want to put your music on, as long as it's, you know, doesn't sound like you're doing unspeakable things to cats, I don't care. All right? But understand, if somebody else comes in the library, I'm going to ask you to bring it down, and we'll be respectful during that time for those people. It's part of the training, and it's the way we condition them. And man, every single kid has been in total compliance every single time. Just set the boundary and say, here it is. And so, but yeah, otherwise, make the noise. People tell you you're not relevant. They're lying. They don't know what they're talking about. And we need to educate them. Aren't we educators?
Yeah. We put up a stoplight in our library. Some of you might have seen it. And we put the times, you know, when, you know, from 9 to, I don't know what we said, red, this is when we expect we'll keep the volume the lowest in the morning. And then the green from 3 to 6, and we put in there, kids are out of school, do not expect the library's going to be as quiet. And we put it on the bulletin board, and it's on an easel there so all the patrons can see it. Because I had some people that were complaining, well, the library's too noisy at 3:30. Well, perhaps you need to come a little bit earlier in the day, but the kids come after school, we want them to come. And sometimes they've been in that learning environment all day, they're not going to be as quiet as you want them to be. So
do you ever hear the, don't you feel like a babysitter?
Thank you very much.
That's what I'm always being told, is don't you feel like a babysitter? And it just really pisses me off.
Yeah. Well, I think
no, we're functioning as a library.
Yeah. I think a lot of people, parents do send, at least in Council Grove, they send their kids to the library after school some days, because they know it's a safe area and it gives them things to do. We try to encourage kids to, let's not play on the computer or the Xbox all day. How about reading a book? We have been successful with some of, especially the boys, are now checking out some books, which we think that's great.
That's great.
But yes, you can look at it like you're a babysitter, but that's why I went back to, is we're kind of a mentor role too. If they aren't doing the right behavior, maybe we should offer, a little bit more structuring for them, not so much as school, but I think it helps. And so I agree with Roger, some of our kids, when they first started coming, did have a lot more problems, but now they have learned, okay, this is where how far I can go, and other ones that they bring into the library that are the first or second time, those are the ones that start to act up, and that kid, those, their friends are telling them, shh, you can't be that loud. So, well, I think that's a good thing, because their friends are now telling them, okay, mm-hmm. we can do this, but we can't go this far. So,
well, I think you can say, we're a community resource, we're a community center, and these kids are part of the community. So, mm-hmm. no, I'm not babysitting them, but we are a resource for kids, too. We're not just a resource for adults, so they're welcome here.
It's always said with such, that it's like, no, I don't feel as though we're babysitters. I feel as though we're doing the function of a public library.
And the kids never come in and say, are you running a nursing home here? They never look around at the old people and say negative things like that. I don't know where that attitude comes from.
I don't either, but it really gets, when you hear it enough, and this is when the kids are being good. This is not when they're bouncing off the walls. And it's like, where do you even get off coming thinking that kids should not be at the library unless they have a parent right there with them supervising them?
Well, and sometimes the parents are a lot louder than the kids.
They are. I guarantee you, we got a couple of parents that I would.
We have some board members louder than the kids. And the board members are saying, shh, to the kids. I want to get an app on my phone that just has, the volume thing. And I can just, show them who's being the loudest. And it'd be completely objective.
Most people that know me and from my work history, they go, you work in a library. I'm like, I do. I just can't see it because they know I'm not quiet, most quiet, shy thing. And a lot of people I talk to in my age range say, oh, when I was a kid, we'd go to the library, and the librarian was so mean. We had to be quiet. We couldn't touch anything or whatever. And that, for me, is, I want to get away from that stereotype and let the kids have a little bit of fun when they come to the library, because then they become lifelong mm-hmm. readers and library users. And to know that the library isn't about, oh, I just have to read this dusty old book. Sorry, I'll get off my soapbox now. I'm trying to take up as much time for you as
I don't have a whole lot, so there you are. I have my story summer reading thing all planned. Thanks to Marcia, I got a hold of, I don't know what they're called.
Catholic Charities.
Yep, that. And they're going to help provide a meal on my story time, this summer reading program. School in our district is now getting out May 12th, so now we're going to throw in some extra programs. That got out Monday. They sent out a notification Monday.
They're out of money.
I think has a lot to do with it. But of course, they're not going to say that. But they said it was because we didn't use any more snow days. But whatever.
That's a lot of snow days.
Yeah. Well, we used to get out the end of May. Now it's May 12th is the last day. But anyhow, so we're going to throw some extra programs in there.
They're going to be at the library regardless, so you might as well have some programs for them. Yeah.
I have a girl. I think she's in eighth grade now. Who is going to be starting on some artwork on the outside of our library. So that was one of her community service and humanitarian project that she had to do. So she can do that. Other than that, I think that's it. I've done the everyday stuff.
What about that new shelving you said you were going to get on the next stuff?
Oh, yeah. See, thanks. I need my friends.
The only reason I remember is because I'm like, ooh.
I have one of my board members, her son is in Boy Scouts, and he's doing his Eagle Scout thing, and he's going to come in and put all new shelving in on our south wall, so it'll match our north wall, because the south wall is like...
It's not nearly as bad as it was. I don't know whether they flipped him over or what.
I did.
But I was going to say, because I can remember the first time I went in there being a little seasick from the rolling of the shelves,
Other than that, keep it on.
Okay. We're still waiting. We're in the process of having our children's area remodeled. He's building everything in his shop right now, and then he'll come in and tear out our wall and put in. We're going to have a function sink with hot and cold water, cabinets, counters. I mean, it's going to be the Ritz. And then I've already started the summer reading program, you know, what we're going to be doing. And because the school has a grant that will cover the students from the time the school gets out until June 30th, they'll bus them back and forth to school and all that and feed them. Then on June 30th, that goes away. The kids won't have anywhere to go or anything to do. And so we're going to start our summer reading program the first week of July and run it till when school begins, about mid-August, but we're going to be doing 5 days a week. And that's when the Catholic Charities will come in and they will give them sack lunches 5 days a week, and we just have to coordinate a program with it. And the programming's really super easy, guys, it really is. I mean, it could be something as simple as putting some math problems on a board if you wanted to go that simple. But we're going to try to be utilizing the community resources and all that. We just finished our spring break and we had 6 days, for whatever reason, the school took 6 days, and maybe they're out of money. But we had the zoo come visit, and they always bring some critters with them and teach the kids. And then we had the Emporia Arts Council came and did an arts project with the kids on spring break. We showed a movie, we did a make and take craft. And then the final day,
some 4-H girls brought in their baby goats and baby bunnies for the kids to pet and play with and touch. So that was our week-long thing for spring break. And basically, I'm going to try to structure the summer reading program around the same theory. We'll have the program the same time every day. We'll either have like a make and take or a maker space up. So, you know, there will be something for the kids to do all the time. I'm going to be utilizing as many kids as I can get from Melandra because they're wonderful kids. I love the kids. And just trying to do as much as we possibly can with the resources that are available to us. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be getting with the school librarian and see what we can do to work together to bring our resources together, because she has posted on Facebook that they are desperately looking for recently published books for the kids for the library. And so I'm going to see if maybe we can come together and find some sort of a joint mutual way to get books into their classrooms. And but just big plans like that. And I've really, really been pushing Nikki to go for grants. Kansas Book Festival, we asked for the max. And the first year we did this, because you could only do it every other year, the first year Catherine had asked for $2,500, we received $500. This time I asked for, $7,000, and we're receiving $3,000. They said that hardly anybody applied. Mm-hmm. And so they had a lot of extra money to give away.
Who was that?
Kansas Book Festival grants. And they're in every other year, like Dollar General. And then there's a lot of community grants, but the big corporate grants, I'm waiting until the grant writing workshop, because I'm pretty sure this fellow is the same one that y'all sent me to a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. In Topeka.
Yeah, Herb Callison it is.
Yeah, and he's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I'm wanting, because that was 2 years ago, I'm kind of wanting a refresher course. I have a whole list of grants I'm getting ready to start writing for, but I'm wanting to wait to have his little, because he gives you such good ideas and tells, and it's just a really great thing to go to, I think. And then I'm going to try for more grants to make up for the holes that our budgeting just won't cover. And someday maybe we'll get new carpet. That's big on my list, but our board president thinks we ought to remodel the bathrooms. Whatever.
My whole board is coming to the grant writing.
Except for really?
I have two openings in April, so those two spots aren't going, but everybody else has signed up, so we'll see. But they were very excited about it.
We're losing our treasurer in 20 years.
We can.
We're going to lose Bev as our treasurer.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, she's expiring again.
Right.
Well, she's been the treasurer for 12 years.
She has to sit out 1 year, and then she can come back again.
Well, I don't know. Her husband will never be there.
Is that 1 year only?
You only have to sit out 1 year.
Is that for everybody?
On boards, yeah.
Really? It's 2 years.
It used to be 2 years, and then some one of our legislators' wives didn't want to sit out 2 years, so he got the legislation changed.
So she hasn't ever even had that long.
Yeah, you only have to sit out 1 year.
She's never been out that long.
Unless you want to sit out 2 years.
Well, no, I mean, because we just revised all those and got those done. It's like, oh, okay, so it's only 1 year.
It's only 1 year.
The best feeling someone else, every time she leaves, the new one coming in ends up quitting and she ends up coming back.
Coming back and filling?
Yeah.
Yeah, technically she's supposed to sit out for a year, but that's okay.
She's ready
to take a break.
Yes.
Yeah.
How long ago did that change?
A couple of years, 3-4 years, maybe more than that. I've discovered I've lost track of time now that I've been here almost 12 years. I keep saying, "Oh, that happened 2 or 3 years ago," and then I look and it's like 2008. I was like, "Oh, wait, that was a while back." Who's next?
I didn't know there was such a thing as a library report, so I don't have anything prepared, but...
Most people make it up on the fly, so don't worry about it.
I didn't know that was, a request. I just started in January, so I'm still learning things, but we're finishing up a Food for Fines program that I had seen other libraries do, and pretty successful so far, so yeah, that's all I have.
And you're weeding?
You've already done lots of things.
Yeah, you already have.
Well, yeah.
Got a lot of things straightened out and cleaned up and
doing
some cross training with staff and
cross train what?
Aren't you having LaDonna come and train multiple of you guys?
It hasn't happened yet. Okay. So I'm like, what are you talking about? Yes.
So that more than one person in her library will be able to do the work on the web page. What a concept.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even better is have somebody else train somebody else, and then you don't have to. Well,
I'm not. I don't even know how yet. There's somebody else on staff who does all of it, and I don't even know how.
I feel the key to having a younger staff is they get all that technology, mm-hmm. and you're like, "Hey, you want to do that?" And they're like, "Okay, it's yours now. I'll just oversee it."
That's how Nikki got the catalog. Do you remember that? Because we were trying to train, and she's like, I said, oh, Nikki really gets this. So why don't you just have her do it?
It was funny. Yeah, it was funny because at one point we're all frustrated. And Carol was like, why don't you just have Nikki do it? She gets it really well. She was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, because it was like she was really struggling. And it was like, all I wanted to do was give her permission to, you don't have to do this. Yeah. You know, that you can pass this on. And you know, there are times when you have to give yourself permission. Okay, this is not going to be my long suit. I'm not ever going to love doing this. You know, it's going to always be a struggle. This person likes doing that. We'll give it to them.
Yeah.
It's fun.
She didn't delegate well. She thought she was the only one that could do anything.
She thought she had to do everything.
Maybe. You know. No, she never wanted anybody else to.
I think she thought it was, and that's a position you can get into as a director that's not good. It's, yes, the final responsibility is with you, but you don't have to actually lay your hands on everything that goes on.
I have no clue what's going on with celebrating all things this year. It's like, my staff is doing it, and they're like, we got it. We know what we're doing. We know what we're supposed to do, and they just give me what they're doing. I'm like, okay. And, but yeah, delegation is hard sometimes for people.
So if you can delegate it.
Yeah. We're just working on the summer reading program, and I want to start weeding out the juvenile books because we have a bunch that are, you know, haven't been read for a while and not the best condition.
Come to my class at Book Fair and I'll teach you how to do that.
And we do have two, we sent out letters to people to see if we could get people to volunteer in the library. And so we actually have two of them that are going to come in and we'll work with them to, you know, show them how to run the machine, you know, the Verso and stuff like that. And one of them used to be a newspaper. She used to own the Riley County Inn. And so I'm going to let her help do a lot of the news articles because she can do it in a flash and it takes me forever. You know, I just am not good at that.
That's a good use of volunteers, yeah.
That's it.
We just finished our quilt show. This is the 15th year that we've had our quilt show. We did our first community read this year, and it was very successful. We read Hillbilly Elegy, and it was a great turnout. So we're going to do it again. We're finishing up our spring story time in a couple of weeks. Each month we have a luncheon with a lunch and learn type thing. This month it's going to be on gardening. We have 40 women come for lunch and then have a program. We got nominated to do the community Easter egg hunt, so we get to do that. Kiwanis help us. They buy the candy, and we stuff the eggs and then actually do the hunt at the library. We're stuffing 2,000 eggs, so that'll take a little while.
Wow.
We're doing a Beauty and the Beast party in a couple weeks. We're having some girls and boys come to that, getting ready for our book sale. And we're just about done doing inventory, and we've got everything pretty much complete, and we're working on getting a price on everything, and I think we've finally done it. Everything's got a price, and everything's accounted for, and so I think we're done with inventory. So, yeah, so it went well. It was nice to see that we didn't weren't missing as much as we thought maybe we were, and things were accountable. So it's good to know. So.
Okay, so we got feedback here just recently that from some parents that kids were kind of aging out of some of the younger programming. And so we put together a focus group of about 6th and 7th graders and listened to what they had to say about what they'd like to see in programming. And that'll start with summer reading programs to get more of the preteens involved in our library. And that's gone very well so far. It had been one meeting. I think there's another one or two scheduled to set up some specific programs. Once a year, I report to the city commission. Some of you folks do too. I don't know who all does. And that was Tuesday night. And so I use that as an opportunity to talk about the goals we had the last year and how we did, the goals we've got for next year, and what we want. It's good old boys on the commission, so they don't have any idea what goes on at the library. So it's that one chance a year to educate the city commission about what actually goes on at the library. And goals, you know, that's kind of the focus of that. One of the things we put before them is an estimate to convert our fluorescent lighting to LED lighting in the library. And I think they're pretty receptive to that. And then I spent time talking about our friends group, which was a goal of 2016. Our friends group was kind of withering a little bit. But we had elections and got some new folks onto the board and have done some recruiting. And they have careless help. They finally completed the process of becoming tax exempt. So now they're an official recognized charity. Which is pretty complicated, but Carol was a big help with that. And finally, we had someone a couple months ago, in a single donation, by my estimate, donate a ton of cookbooks to the library. Not figuratively speaking, but literally. And so the Friends are going, at the weekend of the Tulip Festival in Womego, the Friends are going to have a special cookbook sale. And we get, you know, I never knew until I started on the book band that cookbooks mattered in libraries. And now that we've got all these cookbooks and we put the word out a little bit, you know, I find out, being a guy, what do I know? That lots of people like to just have cookbooks to look at the pictures. Mm-hmm. Coffee table books, I guess. And so, well, we're hopeful to have a good turnout for that book sale. That's the main stuff, I guess.
I just found out that reading cookbooks is called technical reading, which I didn't know because I am a huge cookbook reader. I like to do that. So when is the story?
Yeah, okay. The week at Tulip Festival, the 23rd, 24th of April.
Of April. Okay, great. Good to know.
So in Emporia, we also have been doing some weeding, and we are removing about 40 feet of shelving up in our second floor to make room. We're going to be pulling the shelves together to make us more ADA compliant. Friends just finished their spring book sale. They made about 8,000, which was really good. we'll be having a Jails of Kansas program April 20th. It's a book local book that was written, and the author's going to come in and do a talk for us. We just found out last week that the Emporia School District received grant with United Way, another organization, and they're actually buying a food truck, and we've been identified as the site for the food truck, so they will park outside the library Monday through Friday. The kids will not eat within the library, but the food truck will be there, and will serve lunch every day throughout the summer for the kids, so we're hoping that that's going to drive some people to the library that possibly hadn't been before. We're working on a pilot program with five other libraries, Liberal, Dodge City, Derby, Andover, Baser, with the Kansas Leadership Center to provide some leadership development online programs for our summer reading program. We're working with the Masonic Literacy Center in Emporia on a, it's a grant that will allow the community to bring in their little digital listening devices that a child 0 to 3 wears for 24 hours that count the conversations and count the words. When you think about the word gap that everybody talks about as far as literacy. So we'll be hopefully partnering with Masonic Literacy Center in that program, and we'll find out, the grant's due April 30th, and we hope to find out by midsummer whether we're gonna be able to start that program in August. We purchased about $50,000 worth of new furniture, and we were completely re-renovating the staff workroom and all the offices. We have a new catalog coming up April 25th. We'll be migrating off of Circe and going on to Biblionics. We have a new logo that I'm supposed to see next week on Wednesday. I haven't seen it yet, so it'll be interesting to see what the marketing company has come up with. We're in discussion about starting a library foundation. We have a library friends group, but we don't have a library foundation. And as you know, you have to have one of those if you want to build onto the building. And at this point, we know if we don't get a foundation started, that we're not going to be building anything in 10 years. So we're hiring a full-time public services librarian as a one of our staff people resigned on Monday. She's going to be going to the genealogy library in Independence. And she's really excited about that. We're also purchasing a 3-station iPod kiosk for our children's department, which looks like a big giant crayon, and then the iPads fit right on the kiosk, so the kids actually stand up to play on the iPads. We don't have any iPads, we just have the regular AW computers or just regular computers, so we're kind of excited to have iPads coming in. And that's all I got.
Sometimes when I listen to how much you guys are doing, it just kind of amazes me.
Forgot mentioning, we're having a container gardening coming down from the extension office this Saturday. We're having our tea party on Tuesday with the honor flight that went to DC last year with the vets. And then on the 7th of May, we're having a gallery on the go fundraiser.
Yeah. Youth libraries do a lot of stuff in their community.
I had a question from something that Robin said, but now I forgot what you mentioned.
The Literacy Center?
Are those words counting the words of the
Masonic
kids?
Masonic Literacy Center, pilot program, Jails of Kansas, which sounds like a really cool program.
What about that one that counted the words of the kids?
That was it.
That's Masonic. Is that the one?
No.
New furniture, new catalog,
the
leadership one with dinner.
No, but what it was now.
Foundation.
The lunch site.
Needing a foundation to build on.
ADA compliant.
No, I don't know.
Shelving?
There was someone
that
was going to ask you.
So speaking of shelving, we do have two more sets of shelves, which could be broken down into other numbers of shelving, I think, at this point. They're 96 inches tall, I believe. They're very, very tall, double-sided shelves. Yeah. But they can be broken up, is what Mike tells me. So if anybody is interested, free to Good Home. I prefer them not to go to Howie's, but that may be where they go, to the recycling center. If we can't find a good home for them. Ark City did come and get their shelves.
I think they'd find them.
Sylvia found them for them.
Really?
Yeah. John said that he saw them loading. Sylvia's one. So, anything else?
Next meeting?
The next meeting we think is online because it's during summer reading. It's June the 8th. It would be June the 1st because that would be the week after the executive committee meeting, except I am going to be in at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, because my son will be getting his Green Beret that day.
Oh, wow.
Awesome.
Congratulations.
I don't know.
Very cool, but also scary.
It's cool and very scary. Yeah.
Yes.
So you'll have to just indulge me and come the next week. But I think we decided that we would do Zoom because that way people didn't have to be out of their libraries for more than 2 hours during summer reading.
Are you going to have pictures?